This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine, Wisconsin. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Dan Schaefer will be joining us right after the 11 o'clock news, as he always does, so we can recombobulate.
Gotta get it done.
The question, where is California guy?
Huh. All the lakes have been checked. All the axe-throwing establishments have been surveyed, and not a nary a Hovde in sight.
No. So we'll talk about that. Tammy Baldwin has already given a victory speech.
Yep.
And where is Eric Hovde? So we'll talk about that with Dan Schaefer. We're going to wrap up the show today. It is Friday. We're going to try and lighten things up a little bit in hour number two. Mm-hmm. And we'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing at 11:51. Let's go yachting edition.
I want to go yachting.
Yeah, let's go yachting edition. That's coming up at 11:51. We wanted to start off, though, with this is in WPR today from Rich Kramer. Headline, Wisconsin Republicans elect new state Senate president.
Yeah.
So Wisconsin State Senate has two new faces in leadership. Republicans elected Mary Falskowski as Senate president and Rachel Cabral Guevara as majority caucus vice chair. They held the elections yesterday after Democrats did flip four state Senate seats, ending the Republicans' 22-10 supermajority. The Republicans still have a majority, but it's 18-15.
Which isn't bad.
No, that's not bad. It's certainly better than 22-10. Senator Devin Lemahue was reelected as Senate Majority Leader. In a statement, Lemahue thanking his GOP colleagues for their support and says the Senate's top priority will be returning Wisconsin's surplus to hardworking families. Our budget surplus is around $4 billion.
I have some thoughts on that. When we had surpluses last time, or money to use on things like education or housing or things like that, two times the Wisconsin State Legislature, controlled by the GOP, thought it was the best idea to give them back to the people in the form of housing tax cuts. So if you owned a house, you got some money back.
Right.
If you were, and then the next one was a parent cut, if you have children, a child tax cut. If you owned a home and got that first one, you got between $13 to $100. For the children, you got about $100. Now, no parent's going to shake a fist at $100.
No.
That goes away. That buys diapers. I'm not going
to. Absolutely.
But I think we should all agree that massive amounts of money like that should be invested in not these short-term, quote-unquote, solutions, but long-term investments that can help children. And help homeowners with things like their value and keeping up and things like, I think giving it back to the people, not going to be the great thing they think it is.
Well, not if you're talking about $13.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem, when we're talking about $4 billion surplus, $13 just doesn't seem to be much.
Who almost wants to go to a movie? I got $13 bucks back. Woo!
Former State Senate President initially did plan to the spot again, but he dropped his bid after a challenge from Falskowski, Kapenga saying he did not have the votes for a re-election. In an interview with WPR, Falskowski says the Senate's former supermajority is a bit of a moot point because without a supermajority, they were unable to override Governor Evers' vetoes. Quote, we have a three-person majority in the Senate, which for a purple state like Wisconsin is still a very healthy majority. She also echoed Devin Lemahue's focus on returning the state surplus to taxpayers. With a $4 billion surplus, obviously we're taking way too much money from our constituents. Falskowski says lawmakers are still recovering from campaign season, but they'll start caucusing the next couple of weeks on the party's priorities. for the upcoming legislative session, which is all of 2 months. She says she's looking forward to doing a deep dive into healthcare legislation again. We've seen this is a real concern for our constituents, the cost of health care, yes. How can we lower that for employees and our constituents while maintaining quality? She also said Republicans have ongoing concerns about vacancies in the Department of Corrections. She would like to see the troubled Lincoln Hills Youth Detention Facility closed. And she's also concerned about long-term vacancies in the Department of Natural Resources top leadership position. Elskowski says, that agency to me is in disarray. Governor Evers has not appointed a secretary at the department. It's been almost 11 months. We're going on a year. We see a department that's running amok.
I think that's very interesting language for the newly elected or for the president of the Senate to say, because that's not kind of what the truth is, though. That's the problem. It's not Tony Evers just letting it go vacant and being like, do what you want, DNR. It's a party time. Pew, 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 pew. It's not. It's because the GOP in Madison has rejected his nominees for DNR secretary.
Or they just won't hold hearings on his nominees.
Yeah. They have, and we talked about, we actually talked about this topic last week, and they have rejected 21 of Evers' appointees. That includes the 8 appointees they fired last fall.
Right.
So this isn't just about a shambles government run by Tony Evers. This is about directed and pointed political activism. You are not going to give him a win.
Right.
So therefore, the DNR is left with no leader. This is not the fault you think it is, my friend.
It's just amazing to me that, yeah, it's Governor Evers' fault.
Of course it is.
That's why it's in disarray and run amok.
Run amok.
Run amok.
We talked about the word amok a lot before the show.
That's the only phrase where you ever hear it, yeah, is running amok.
Yes.
And actually, you looked up the definition, and the definition is under run amok.
Yeah, it's not even like amok.
Yeah, amok is not a thing on its own.
So these elections are amok. Yeah. So when she tries to paint it as Tony Evers can't get anything done, that is, couldn't be farther from the truth. He's one of the most successful, beloved politicians in this state, and it's the constant stonewalling by the GOP on appointees to various positions like the DNR that's happening, which is why it's apparently amok.
Amok. I think folks would love to see a head of the DNR.
It's Wisconsin. We have some of the most beautiful land in the world.
And that's something on which I think we all agree is protecting and conserving our natural resources.
Yes.
And keeping an eye on how we are treating our natural resources.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so, yes, it would be good for us to have a head of the DNR that would get approved.
I'm just wondering, like, if you asked, I'm sorry, I'm blanking on her name right now.
Mary Felskowski?
Mary Felskowski. Wow, that is a Wisconsin name right there. Mary Felskowski. I'm sure she would love to have a secretary in there as well. Someone who is a little more business-minded, open to possibilities of, like, drilling and developing, you know, a real Tom Tiffany sort of thing, like taking those natural resources and exploiting, I'm sorry, using them for their worth.
Exactly. Exactly. We'll see what happens. I'm sure Governor Evers will attempt to put another nominee in front of them that they'll reject.
Yeah.
And then go, look, it's running amok.
Everything's amok here in Wisconsin. Honestly, though, you know, we talked about this with Dan. We talked about this with Diane Hasselbein. It is going to be interesting. I'm very much excited to see what can get done in Madison now that the majorities have shrunk.
Shrunken.
Because really, it's about what you've been saying for over a year now. Wisconsin wants to see things get done.
Yes, we want things to get accomplished.
And when one party has all of the power,
they don't have to do anything.
They don't have to do anything. They can gavel in, gavel out, go traveling on our dime, do whatever they would like. So I'm actually looking forward to 2025, seeing the stories that are coming out of Madison. I will be nauseously optimistic. But I think we could see some
movement.
Powerful, positive moves for Wisconsin.
I agree. I agree. because again, there's going to have to be some reaching across the aisle now, and there's going to have to be some responding to constituents' concerns.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. And honestly, to those who didn't want, like, there's nothing like knocking on a door on a non-election year either. You take like a couple hours, go to somewhere in your district, knock on a few doors, introduce yourself. That goes a long way for the people who vote for you.
They definitely know.
They know you're in the neighborhood. You're showing some concern, and you get a good walk. I don't know. I'm being naive right now, Jane, but I'm really looking forward to 2025 in Madison and what will bring us in 2026. Such and so, therefore, going forward. Nothing's amuck with my vocabulary.
Again, I agree with you. I think it will be interesting to watch what happens in Madison. Now that the majorities are smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some pressure, hopefully some pressure now for them to actually get things done. I don't know if there's no chance that they would stop taking 10 months of vacation, is there?
Well, I mean, this is where I have to plead a little ignorant here. Has this ever happened before? Have they ever taken this long? Have they ever shut down business for this long?
Oh, they do every year.
It is a regular thing. Yeah. I don't know, because I mean, we had Fran Hong on the show a couple months ago, and she addressed this and said, we don't want to be off this much. We want to be able to work and do things. I mean, I also get it. Like, it's a job that does pay well, but if you have a family, you might need a second job. And I understand why you might need time off, but 10 consecutive months.
Yeah.
That's a bit much. That's a bit much if you ask me.
Well, and what is their salary? 54?
50 something thousand.
Which is not a huge, I mean, that's pretty average.
Yeah. It's average.
But it's great for a 2 month job.
And it's got great healthcare.
Does have nice healthcare benefits.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the way to get good health care.
It's $57,408 per year as of 2023. That is state representative. Oh, for a sales representative. It's
50, about 57,000.
Yeah. So I would like to see them maybe work. I'm going to put it out here. 4 months a year.
I think we could all.
Shooting for the moon.
Yeah. Go for this guy. All right. When we return, you got to give her some credit, I guess, because she just never gives up.
Never quits.
She never quits. We'll continue right after this. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. She gets mad and she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't hurt. She don't mean no.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Gal B, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine, Wisconsin. You can always join us. Call or text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Right before the break, we mentioned you kind of have to admire her because she just doesn't quit.
No.
Carrie Lake of Arizona. And Arizona still hasn't been called in the Senate.
No,
it's Ruben Gallego and Carrie Lake.
Yes.
And so we're still waiting for the final count there in Arizona. But it is finally over as far as Carrie Lake's final petition to overturn the results of the 2022 race for Arizona governor.
That's right, folks. She said 2022.
2022. After 2 years filled with losses and appeals, the Arizona Supreme Court denying Carrie Lake's final petition aimed at overturning the 2022 race for governor. The high court's decision, made behind closed doors, came just a day after the election. Lake ran in that election as the Republican candidate for Senate, even though she had never conceded her loss in the 2022 race for governor to Democrat Katie Hobbs. Lake is still trailing Democratic opponent Ruben Gallego in the Senate race. She, of course, was famous for being a big purveyor of the big lie.
Oh, yeah.
That the 2020 election was stolen. She kept rehashing the same arguments that had already failed during her previous trials and appeals. Again, this has been going on for 2 years.
Yeah.
Lots of money involved here. Tom Liddy is the attorney for Maricopa County. Filed a scathing response to Carrie Lake's last appeal in August. Rather than offering reasons why the review should be granted, the petition only says that Lake is right and the lower courts are wrong. That's not much of an argument.
That's a lawyer's way of saying, nah, you're right. You're wrong. I'm right.
The petition makes the argument by simply parroting Carrie Lake's position while ignoring much of the legal reasoning and all of the evidence that led the lower courts to decide against her.
One of her attorneys, Jennifer Wright, quoted as saying the 2022 election was irredeemably flawed, which is, you're not used to hearing that. Like, we're always talking about 2020 was stolen and all
right,
that.
Right.
But like, the 2022 election was irredeemably flawed. More flawed than the 2020 election, Jennifer Wright? I mean, make up your mind. Also, it's 2024 just perfectly fine because you won? I mean, you didn't win, but like your side won.
Right.
Your movement won. And that just brings up a bigger question for me, Jane Mattinair. Where is Donald Trump and where is MyPillow guy?
Screeching?
Screeching for her on her behalf. She's losing a current election while still trying to fight a losing battle from 2 years ago. Where are all the grand gestures, the tweets? I got all documents right here. No, nothing. They left her alone. She's got no one on that side of any power helping her out. And I don't know where she's getting the money. She must be sending out fundraising emails.
She has to be.
And I wouldn't be surprised she's getting like, you know, 10, 20 buck donations for people who really think all the elections are flawed. But this, when they don't need you anymore, you're on your own.
You're on your own. Exactly. You can't provide anything for me.
Nope.
So, yeah, good luck.
You're not going to be a governor or a senator? I got nothing for you.
Phoenix attorney and Carrie Lake critic Tom Ryan said the Supreme Court's denial of her appeal is the end of the road for Lake's continuing challenge to the 2022 election. Quote, to paraphrase a quote from Charles Dickens in A Christmas Carol, Carrie Lake's case is as dead as a doornail. Or to paraphrase Monty Python in their Dead Parrot skit, Carrie Lake's case is bereft of life. Joined the choir eternal, kicked the bucket, bought the farm, is without any observable metabolic processes, and is not pining for the fjords of Norway, it is dead.
This is an X campaign. I mean, but the thing is like once now this is done, she will not stop whining, I'm sure, about it.
I'm sure.
But now she gets to focus her attention on taking it to court for 2024. This is who she's going to become now.
The permanent litigator?
The permanent litigator, the fighter for freedom and justice for this one kid. Everything else is fine. Nothing else was fixed. Just this one. Just this one. Not even election. Box on the ballot. As you've stated before, if 2020 was fixed and stolen, then what about all the other elections that you won that you would support? Are we to redo it all? It
hurts the head.
It really does.
It hurts the head.
But that Monty Python quote, oh.
I know. That's so beautiful. Carrie Lake, by the way, is herself the subject of a defamation lawsuit for the election fraud lies she spread about Maricopa County recorder Stephen Richter after she lost the 2022 election. That case is in the discovery phase. After Lake in April legally conceded that her statements were false, but she later claimed publicly she never lied and she only gave up defending herself in this defamation case because it was a distraction to interfere with her campaign for the Senate. Wow, just trying to follow that is making me
dizzy. So you said words, you said they were false, but I didn't lie because I wanted it to be done. That also seems like perjury on some level, but I don't know where, because frankly, I don't have boots that go high enough to wade in the BS that you is Carrie big, Lake's life.
You need big waders for this. The amount of damages the Leekener campaign owe Richter for this defamation, for security costs, the loss to his reputation and mental health issues, as well as punitive damages, will be determined in a jury trial. The pretrial hearing happens in February. So Carrie's going to be in court, it looks like, for a while.
And that, my friends, is the lake effect. Sorry, whoa, I can't say that, can I? No. Oh, shoot. That's kind of, that feels copywritten. But yeah, it's... Oh, I mean, and also, is Dominion voting machines going to come from Marjorie Taylor Greene? I don't know. Like, you say these words, folks, there are consequences.
Yes, there are.
You got no proof?
Yeah, don't forget, Dominion got Fox to settle for almost $1 billion.
Which really changed their messaging and their... Yeah. Their overall milieu.
Yeah, right. Completely changed. completely changed. News is coming up next when we return. Tariffs and us talking tariffs next. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Calvinator on the board coming to you from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same. 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. After the 11 o'clock news, Dan Schaefer will be here from the recombobulation area. We're going to talk about where is California guy? Nobody's seen him.
Eric!
Eric, are you okay? Eric?
Where's your mustache?
We'll be checking on Eric Hovde after 11 o'clock. We will wrap up the show as we usually do at 11:51 with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, the Let's Go Yachting edition. So stick around for that. We wanted to talk, though, about tariffs. This was a big topic of discussion before the election.
Yep.
And continues to be. This is from CBS News. As President-elect Donald Trump readies to return to the Oval Office, U.S. retailers that depend on foreign suppliers are getting ready to pass along the cost of his proposed import tariffs, potentially leading to higher prices for a whole bunch of stuff that we use. According to the National Retail Federation, Americans stand to lose between $46 billion and $78 billion in spending power every year on products including clothing, toys, furniture, household appliances, footwear, and travel goods.
That was billion with a B, folks.
$46 to $78 billion.
Yeah.
Retailers rely heavily on imported products and manufacturing components, so they can offer their customers a variety of products at affordable prices. A tariff is a tax paid by the U.S. importer, not a foreign country or the exporter. The tax ultimately comes out of the consumer's pockets through higher prices. So if you're looking, if you're in the market for some things, you may want to buy them now.
Absolutely. Especially, I mean, I'm not one of those people who's extreme couponing, but... those, especially, I think those products that are necessary, the hygienic products, toilet paper.
Oh, I think Christmas toys.
Oh, yeah. Well, Christmas toys,
you
too. But like,
start buying for Christmas now.
And the one thing that I'm going to ask right now, I want to, like, on this show right now, I'm going to ask, in a year's time, if and when prices go up, and if tariffs happen, they will go up, who's to blame? Because I know who's to blame. The guy who said he's going to put a 1,000, 2,000% tariff on products. But when Kamala Harris and Joe Biden are in the rearview mirror, months of past gone, they're done. Whose fault's going to be?
According to the industry trade group, a $40 toaster oven will sell for $48 to $52 after tariffs are in place. A $50 pair of running shoes will go from $59 to $64. A mattress that currently costs $2,000, mattress and box spring, will go up to $2,100, according to the National Retail Federation. During his first term, the Trump administration did impose tariffs up to 25%. President Biden did keep most of their tariffs and added more onto goods, including Chinese electric cars and microchips. But of course, has said he plans to impose a 60% tariff on goods from China and a 10 to 20% tariff on all of the $3 trillion in foreign goods that the U.S. imports every year. Donald Trump has repeatedly said that foreign companies will foot the bill, telling a gathering last month at the Economic Club of Chicago that countries will pay the tariffs. CBS News reporting, in reality, American importers pay the tariffs to the U.S. Customs and Border Protection Agency when their goods cross the border.
And then you pay for the tariffs when you buy the products. I honestly don't know what I'm saying. When prices went up, people were like going crazy, blaming Biden and everything. And now, like, if my shoes cost me $50 and now they're $59 to $62, people will be like, that's not that big of a deal. It's fine. It's just a little bit, you know.
Just a little pain.
Just a little bit. You know, I mean, prices go up over time. Don't you know that?
Donald Trump has argued that tariffs compel American companies to make their goods here in the U.S. rather than buying from foreign suppliers, but some companies have other plans. Philip Danielle, who is the CEO of AutoZone, told Wall Street analysts in an earnings call in late September, if we get tariffs, we will pass those tariff costs back to the consumer.
Yeah.
We'll generally raise prices ahead of, we know what the tariffs will be, we generally raise prices ahead of that. Major suppliers to AutoZone include companies based in China, India, and Germany. Stanley Black & Decker CEO Donald Allen Jr. said last week that his company, which makes tools, has been planning for the possibility of additional tariffs on imports since spring. Obviously, coming out of the gate, there will be price increases associated with tariffs that we put into the market. He also downplayed the idea of moving manufacturing back to the U.S., saying it's not cost-effective.
That sounds kind of like the conversation we had with James Vanderloo a week or two ago.
It does.
Where he said he's going to be on the phone. Now that Trump has won, I'm sure he's having the calls right now, but if those and when those tariffs are imposed, U.S. companies that have manufacturing and facilities outside this country are going to have to make a plan.
And I'm sure they've been planning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So this has a knock-on effect. It is ripples. It is huge. It is happening immediately. We are 72 hours from the election.
And it's, well, yeah. Well, again, companies have to plan ahead.
Yeah.
They're future-based.
Yeah.
What's coming down the road? Alan, again, from Black & Decker, says their options include moving production and parts of the supply chain to different parts of the world, including from China to other parts of Asia, possibly Mexico. Connecticut-based Acme United, which has Westcott brand products like rulers that are made in Thailand and the Philippines, avoiding the tariffs targeting China. Businesses have also stocked up, placing bigger than usual import orders ahead of new tariffs. 11% more Chinese products came in July and August than they did during the same two-month period a year ago, according to the Census Bureau. Again, the point of tariffs, in theory, is to get U.S. manufacturers to make things here.
Mm-hmm.
But the catch, now this is from Channel 3000, Steve Madden, which makes shoes, which sells shoes. Steve Madden is not moving production to the U.S. Instead, it will source its goods from Cambodia, Vietnam, Mexico, Brazil, and some other countries.
Yeah, it's unless you are going to provide resources that allow businesses to build and do all the things they need to do and find employees and get the equipment at a very low price or great tax breaks or tax refunds, they're not going to build here because it's not sustainable from scratch. It's just it.
Well, the point of a business is to make money.
The point that, yes, absolutely. The point, and I guarantee you, these businesses, these groups they're talking to are not all liberal,
no.
left-wing, communist companies. They are people who just care about their bottom line, whether it's to their bit themselves as the owners or their stockholders as well.
Absolutely. The retail industry has been crying foul over Donald Trump's proposed tariffs for quite some time. Apparel and shoe companies in particular, again, the National Retail Federation last week said that the price of a pair of $50 sneakers will jump to $59 to $64. And again, Americans will pay as much as $24 billion more for apparel every year. Companies that make clothing rely on China's inexpensive labor costs and incredibly efficient manufacturing capabilities to rapidly deploy workers to make new products for the U.S. market as fashion senses change. If a shoe company, for example, bets on a wrong trend, it can be disastrous for businesses with long-term financial implications.
Yeah. Like we said, folks, we are 72 hours from the election being called for Donald Trump, and the news is already starting to come out on how his promised policies, which he didn't have many, by the way.
But this was certainly a big one.
This was one of them. Mass deportation and tariffs were probably the two that I'm always going to, you know, and also kids not going to school as a boy and coming back a girl. That's a huge one. But the tariffs thing is going to, and because he is who he is, it's not just going to be like, I'm going to keep the tariffs the way they are. I'm not going to get rid of them. I'm now going to jack them up through the sky. The question has never been answered why Joe Biden didn't get rid of them, but he's going to take the existing ones and be like, well, I'm going to Trumpify this.
You think that's something? Yes.
Wait until you see 1,000% increase, which just sounds almost cartoonish.
Center-right think tank, the American Action Forum, says Donald Trump's tariffs could cost the typical middle-income U.S. household more than $2,600 a year. Steve Mnuchin, remember him?
Oh, yes.
Steve Mnuchin,
Hollywood producer and money holder.
He and his wife flew to the... They flew to the where they print money.
Yeah, the Fed.
The Mint.
Sorry, folks, I don't know everything.
And she took pictures holding sheets of money. Steve Mnuchin was Treasury Secretary all 4 years under Donald Trump, under then President Trump, his first term. He has told CNN that Trump will be very careful not to reignite inflation with tariffs. Quote, I think President Trump clearly understands the impact of inflation. And I think he's going to be very careful. Mnuchin also said that in Trump's first term, tariff exceptions were granted on things that were going to have an impact on U.S. companies, but we did it very strategically.
Oh, Mnuchin, you really expect us to buy that line that Trump understands? His only plan to cut the terrible inflation, which it's not, is tariffs. There's no other policies in place. So you only throw tariffs in there. It's going to, and this has been agreed upon by economists, it's going to explode the deficit and send us possibly into a recession. And I'm not being hyperbolic. People who are 9 million miles smarter than me
and
have
me.
Said so.
Yes. 855-752-4842. If you would like to join the conversation, Tom is on the line from LA. Good morning, Tom. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, Jane, I hope the media, the corporate media, actually holds the seat to the fire, because I really want my gas to be going down a couple dollars once he gets in there. And if it doesn't, then I'm going to start putting stickers on and say it's Trump. But also, it's already started. Apparently, a company yesterday in southwestern Pennsylvania, the company told their employees that they will not be getting a Christmas bonus this year because they now need to purchase at least a year's worth of product prior to January 21st due to the proposed tariffs. They did not understand. This woman's husband said that their president had to explain what a tariff is and that it would directly hurt their company. They all thought foreign companies paid the tariff. Surprise, surprise.
Well, yeah, I mean, thank you, Tom. And that's why we had experts on to talk about this. Mm-hmm. Over the last month, we've had a couple people in to talk about tariffs. I didn't understand how tariffs work.
Yeah,
I didn't have a clear understanding of how they function.
Yeah.
And the potential ramifications. And that's why we invited people who know those things to explain them to us.
I saw that post as well. Jane made the point of saying this morning when we were talking about it, I still want to see the company. I want a little more information on it. But even out of anything, that is going to be the framework for businesses going forward. They're going to have to make tough choices on pay, raises, bonuses, employee numbers.
Absolutely.
Like, if they are directly impacted by tariffs, like you said, Jane, it's about their bottom line.
Right.
And if that means firing employees to do that, they might have to make those tough decisions. And why are they making a decision? I don't know. Maybe the guy who's coming into office in a few days.
Well, again, we'll have to wait and see.
Yes.
Maybe absolutely. He will, you know, maybe the president-elect will temper that a little bit, and experts like Steve Mnuchin will make sure that he does this surgically.
Experts?
He was Treasury Secretary.
Well, Betsy DeVos was also Secretary of Education. So
that's very true.
Is she coming back next time? Yeah, I don't know. Like, yes. Who knows? I just have something else, too. Have some other things in your economic plan. Tariffs is not just the answer. That's just impossible.
Well, that's not going to fix everything. No. That's for sure. All right. Stay with us when we return, remembering a Milwaukee alderman who touched a lot of lives. That's on the way. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm saying hold it. It's not what you've been sold. It's hardly what you know. The ordinary is something neither of us holds. No fooling gold for protecting from the lords. Who's that really? We out in the cold. But they're dependent, so you just keep giving points. I must defend it, oh, the tariffs that you want. Just keep adding up or you'll be below regard.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Galvanator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After the 11 o'clock news, Dan Schaefer will be here. We will recombobulate with Mr. Schaefer, and we'll wrap up the show at this time next hour with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Let's Go Yachting Edition. Mm-hmm. I hope you can stick around for that. You may have noticed that flags are flying at half staff in Wisconsin. Governor Evers ordered the flags at half staff to honor former Milwaukee alderman and state rep Jonathan Brostoff, who died on Monday. Governor Evers saying, quote, "Jonathan's passing is a tragedy to all who knew him and for many whose lives have been bettered because of his service and his advocacy." I did not know Mr. Brostoff, but he was very active in Wisconsin politics. He was elected to the Wisconsin State Assembly in 2014. He represented the 19th Assembly District until 2022, and then was elected to serve the 3rd District of the Milwaukee Common Council. Funeral services are being held today.
Yes.
Really sad news.
To say that Jonathan was beloved is
an understatement.
The understatement of the century. He is. If you,
because you did you worked with him.
A little bit. Yeah, I met Jonathan in 2007. We did a month long UN seminar in New York City together. Well, I went as part of it. We met there. We were roommates for a year. I'm sorry, for a month. And he is everything everyone talks about. He was a bright shining light of positivity, of hope, of advocacy, working so hard, but with always the biggest smile, because he knew we could do better always together, and he's championed so many people. The wave of support that has come out from all groups is undeniable. He left an indelible mark on Milwaukee, and it's the kind of, he's the kind of person that you would, you looked up to, and you were like, how do you do all the things
that you do
all the time and never just like pass out from sleep deprivation? And I will admit, we didn't hang out as much after those years, but we always stayed in touch. There are people out there who knew him way better than I did, but the things that I always remember was just his unrelenting positivity. And for those who, this is a trigger warning. I don't, he apparently committed suicide, which is even more heartbreaking because it's not uncommon, especially with men, but for a lot of people, that someone who is so driven and so working to do the good is hurting inside.
And doesn't share it.
And that will forever break my heart and all those who knew and loved him and still continue to love him. If you are feeling anything close to this, ideations, thoughts, you can call 988 or text Hope Line, Hopeline.
Because a lot of people don't necessarily want to talk, but they would like to reach out. So you can text.
You can do that. And there's always NAMI, NAMI. Please speak to someone.
You're not alone.
You are not alone. You are loved. Jonathan loved everyone.
And there's been a lot, as you said, he seems to have been widely respected on both sides of the aisle.
Yeah.
So, as Greg said, if you are struggling, if you are in a dark place, don't sit and wallow in it. Reach out.
Please.
Please reach out to someone. Family member, good friend, 988.
Yeah.
Those three numbers you can call, 988. Help is available. There are people there for you. We're here for you.
Yeah. We're sending our love to his wife, Diana Vang Brostoff. He's four children.
And he has four kids.
If you are in Milwaukee right now and you knew him and you want to get to it, the service actually starts at 11. It's at the Helen Zelazo Center on East Kenwood Boulevard in Milwaukee. It's such a shame, but also we take what we got from him. And we hopefully use it for better for the future, especially, I don't want to say an example, but, if you are in pain, talk to somebody. It's important.
It is important. 988.
988.
988 is the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, 988. And as you said too, Greg, you can text HOPELINE to the National Crisis Text Line at 741-741. Mm-hmm. Talking about, again, funeral services for Jonathan Brostoff, who passed away on Monday.
In the earlier segment, Calvin, in our private chat, asked me what nice song we should play, and I picked Make Some Noise by the Beastie Boys because he loved hip-hop, and I believe Jonathan always made a beautiful noise.
His wife, Diana Vang Brostoff, put on social media, "Please come celebrate Jonathan Brostoff's life with me and the children. He told me he wanted a party for his funeral, so let's bring the nuck if you buck in the house like he would have wanted." You can also make contributions to Friendship Circle of Wisconsin and to assist with memorial expenses and provide help to his family, again, his wife and four young children. You can donate to a GoFundMe fundraiser. We will include the link to that in the show notes. Mm-hmm. Which you will find at civicmedia.us. Just click on all shows and go to Matt Nair on Air. News is coming up next, and then Dan Schaefer will be here. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.